Binge.
The Binge.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Opening day, baby. I don't know. I'm pretty excited about this opening day. Opening day is always great, but this is a pretty exciting, and like 900 teams make the postseason this year. So,
golly, if you missed that, over half the league is going to make the playoffs this year. There's a new playoff format for this year.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate this extending. I don't anticipate a basketball playoff scenario going for baseball.
No, I don't either.
So, but if you missed it, if you have a decent year, you're going to make the playoffs. If you don't make the playoffs, it has been a massively disappointing season. First place is going to make it from your division. Second place is going to make it from the divisions. And then the next two, highest in each league. So you're going to have, and then that's eight. That's 8-8. And then they're going to seed it, 1 through 8. It's going to be it's going to be a 1 through 8 seeding, 1 and 8, 2 and 7, so on and so on, 3, 6, 4, 5. So just like basketball seeding will be.
Yeah. Three game series for the first series, and then 5 games, then 7-7.
But the three are just at home, right?
No.
On the three, what was the three in the first round?
The three is all the home team has all three games.
The three. Let me check here because I was looking. I was going through. I didn't pay any attention. I was paying attention to the numbers.
Yeah, me too.
And then, there's another setup that's a little different with Major League Baseball. But it is a scenario that basically is a nod to the fact that we understand that some things could happen here. We understand that this is a shorter season by almost a two thirds.
All three games in a player in the higher seed ballpark. Yep.
Yeah. So good luck.
Yep. Man. Well, and that's the way it should be, though.
Yeah, you can't go back and forth.
No, not on a three-game series.
But it's a massive advantage. There's no fans.
But you still are home. You're still, yeah.
The other team had to travel. You still have your home comforts.
Your team is set up for your ballpark, all of those things. Baseball is different than in that respect. Like, you set your team up if you've got a short porch. The Yankees are perfectly set up, man. The Yankees, boy, did Gerrit Cole look good. Holy crap. Oh my goodness, he is going to be awfully. I was honestly happy though when Adam Eaton hit that home run. When Eaton hit that homer, I was like,
every home run. I do not want him to be.
I was happy. I was like, good, yeah. Beat his ass.
Yeah,
and then he was like, oh,
I want him to have a terrible relationship now that he broke up with us. I want him to just have a very flawed relationship and a very contentious relationship with his new boyfriend. I do not want it to be like, because I thought we had a good thing with Gerrit until the very end, and all of a sudden he got a little reckless when he was mad at AJ. Truth be told, I wasn't mad at all about Gerrit Cole being pissed he didn't get in game 7.
No.
It was when he's like...
No, he was right.
When he's wearing Scott Boras's hat, or was it Boras?
Well, he was gone. He's
and I'm
been
like,
gone.
Oh, man.
Well,
but I didn't want to see it right after the game.
Well, and here's the
dealing with that.
No, I know. And right, especially right after that loss. But listen, Boone's not going to be as stupid as AJ letting him sit there and not pitching him. That was just so stupid. Goodness gracious. You got the best pitcher in baseball, and he's sitting there while you're throwing a guy that was worn out. It's just 8 outs to go, AJ. That's stupid. And Boone won't be that stupid. You're gonna throw that dude until his arm falls off. And that's what I would do. And that's what, man, it's just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so got to get over it somehow, some way. 8 outs to go is just never, I'm never, ever, ever going to get over. It's one of the things in my life I will never get over.
No. Eight outs to go. In a World Series with in the seventh inning and a chance and coming out of a game 7? Coming out of a great, start for Zach Greinke, the best that we had seen with Greinke as an Astro? No, you're never going to get over that.
Never.
I'm never going to. You're never going to. And I'll never forget, right, we were there with Kelly and McCool, and we're literally, after the game, it's the worst feeling. You lose a game 7 playoffs, and then we had to go outside. We're parked far away. Actually, no. We weren't parked. We got dropped off. We got dropped off. Yeah, we got dropped off by an Uber, I believe. And so we go outside, and it's pouring down rain. Yeah. It's
the worst
pouring
day ever.
Sideways. It's cold. Like a cold front came in with tremendous rain.
It was like the worst day in the Houston
everyone
history.
Everyone from Energy Minute Maid are having to run, and nothing can be around. You know, it's a World Series. There's nothing for a half a mile around the stadium, and we're having to run. And then if you think you're going to get an Uber after a game where when you have 60,000, 45,000 people probably, maybe
pandemic?
More around there. Well, we didn't have pandemic then, but 45,000.
It was kind of.
It felt
like
it. Was
a World Series pandemic.
But 45,000 people are all there trying to get Ubers. Yeah, that didn't work great.
Yeah.
We had to run for like a mile. You're just like sprinting in a mile of cold, freezing, sideways flowing rain, just smacking us in the face after a Game 7 loss where AJ left Garrett Cole in the dugout
bench.
And pissed him off.
Well, he was gone anyway.
Yeah, but he was feisty after the game.
Yeah, he was real feisty.
Wouldn't it have been a lot better to see Garrett Cole with a Scott Boras hat on after a win? I bet you don't wear a Boras hat if he's winning, celebrating in the locker room.
No, he's wearing a champs hat.
Yeah.
Instead, he put on his Boras hat, where I'm going to get paid hat.
I'd rather he had a Borat hat on. That'd be a lot better.
Or Borat. Borat's bathing suit.
Yeah.
That would have been that. Reddick would wear
Reddick
that.
Reddick would have done that. So baseball is underway. We will have some all systems go. We've already had a guy yesterday reach out, like, please play that all day long. This is
our in and out.
The guy's like, I had nothing else to look forward to the whole pandemic, and we finally get some sports. And we do. The Astros will go, and very excited about that. We'll see how JV does right out of the gate. Garrett Cole was good. The game was rained. It was rained out, but it was in the book. So the Yankees get the win there. Stanton with it. Giancarlo Stanton had a bomb. Garrett Cole, as you mentioned, looked sharp. He looked good. I mean, he looked like he wasn't quite as dominant with the punch outs as we saw with the Astros, but he looked pretty much the same. Only with a hat.
Pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty good. Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff to talk about this morning. What with the Astros, and let's start with this. Let's start since it is opening day, and we did. I want to start with here's the 30 man. You know it's Altuve, Bregman, Correa, Diaz, Yuli, Jack Mayfield, and Abraham Toro made it.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even think about Jack Mayfield, to be honest.
Yeah, Jack Mayfield has been he's a little. He's a feisty little guy.
He does some things.
Yeah, he does some things.
That's fine.
He's a utility guy. I don't know how much he's going to see the field. Brantley, Reddick, Springer, Straw, and Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
No surprises. With 30 guys, you're not going to get, this is pretty much. Now, of course, you don't have Yordan here, so we're dealing with no Yordan, which is a huge deal. Catchers are Dustin Garneau, Martin Maldonado, and Garrett Stubbs. Carrying three with 30 guys. Garneau would probably be the first to go once they have to cut down after a couple of weeks. Here's the bullpen. Now, your starters are obviously Verlander, McCullers, Greinke, Josh James, and Framber Valdez. That's your five. Let me see what you think of... I think Paredes is going to have to play a huge role. A huge role. And here's a wild
That's
card.
A lot to expect for a guy who's never really done.
Here's
it.
A wild card is Christian Javier.
Mm-hmm.
We were reading up about him before. He's been a guy. He's a guy who's got a live arm. You're going to have to count on him because now Davinsky has been around a while, so you can imagine that Dusty is going to have some confidence in a guy that's got some experience. But you're going to have to rely on Cy Snead, on Blake Taylor, on Brandon Bailey, Brian Abreu, Joe Biagini. You're going to have to rely on some guys that you're like, oh, really? In this situation,
Biagini
when every game is worth three games,
Biagini
we're going to be thrown in Joe Biagini?
Joe Biagini doesn't have, I mean, he has major league experience, I should say, but he wasn't good last year in the limited time the Astros saw him. So, I mean, that's a concern. We know Abreu's got good stuff. We know he's got the... he's got the measurables and he's got some prototypical stuff, but we have to see if it comes together. Biagini's just kind of a guy. Don't know a lot about Brandon Bailey. I know Christian Javier and Enoli Paredes were both featured. Jake Kaplan was excited about both those guys. Two of the three that he mentioned from the minors having an impact made the roster. Cy Snead, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what kind of pitcher he is.
I think you got to have a little bit more confidence in Cy. He's got some major league experience now, and he's going to be a guy that you're going to have to count on. He's going to be, you know, he's a big, strong kid. You're going to have to count on him a little bit more. Every time we talk about him, you don't have all that much confidence in him.
What has he done?
What has anybody done when they just come up?
That's what I mean. It doesn't have to be Cy Snead. You need four. You need four guys to step up out of that.
I have a feeling he's going to be one of the guys.
Maybe so, but you got to have four to go with the other three. And that's counting Devo as a hit. You know, I mean, Devo's had some good time in the bigs.
Yeah.
It's not like Devo's Biagini. Devo has done something for the Astros. So Presley, Osuna, Devo, they're known commodities, but I do think you need to have four of those seven step up. And it wouldn't, I mean, you know, Abreu, Paredes, they've got electric stuff. Haven't seen enough of Christian Javier, obviously, but I know there's some excitement about him and what he's able to, you know, in terms of some of his stuff. Maybe not that he is, you know, has a big plus fastball. I think he's the one that works around 91 miles an hour, but we'll see. We'll see who it is. Maybe it is Cy Snead. He's got major league experience. I just know that it's got to be four. I don't know which four it is, but you need four more because you need to have seven strong ones because you have a four and a five in your rotation that are unlikely to go deep into the games. So you're going to have to be – your bullpens are probably going to have to see action, extensive action, for two straight games in a row. And I mean extensive action, like, you know, four-plus innings, more than likely. So we'll see how that pans out. Because you don't want to burn up Ryan Presley. You don't want to burn up. Well,
guess
what? Is there such a
guess
thing
what?
As burning up?
Guess what? You're burning them up. Guess what? Presley's going to be in there every eighth inning. I don't. You know what? Till his arm falls
you
off.
Think so?
Yep.
I mean, because the significance of every.
Because
you can't say hey, it's just April.
Yeah.
No. They count, but they don't really count.
No, they really count.
Every game now is August.
But you are going to have to give them a couple of. No, you're going to have to give them a couple of days off, and there's going to be. Because how often are Verlander, Greinke, McCullers going into the eighth and ninth? You are going to have to count on. You can't. You're going to just throw him till his arm falls off. You're going to have to count on some other guys in the eighth inning. Because chances are every ball game, you know, unless Verlander is stealing. And gets to the eighth. How many complete games do we see? One or three a year? Now, with 60-game schedule, you're going to probably throw Verlander and Greinke more than you would have normally. But you're going to have to count on a guy almost nightly to be in that eighth inning. And it can't be Presley every single night. So you're going to have to count on guys. You're going to have to count on, who knows, maybe it's Paredes. We'll see. If he can control that whip, mm-hmm. of his, mm-hmm. holy crap. If he can locate that fastball, holy crap, is he at the league's in trouble. 713 ESPN 97.5. 713, let's talk a little bit about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marvel and Granite. We're going to have a job over at our – we're working on getting a new place, and Jeff Aronoff is going to be the guy that we're going to be going to. Jeff Aronoff is a guy that is going to be able to put in an entire bar for us, do all the flooring and drywall and vanity and shower and bathtub and everything that's involved, and even with the electrical stuff that we're going to have to deal with. He's got guys that can do that stuff as well. This is what he does every single day. And if you're looking for that kind of guy that is going to be able to do a big job for you, let him come to your house. Let him show you exactly what he's going to do. He is going to design your job or your business or your house. He can do both. He did it. Did the bar, the entire bar for Damaris Barbecue over on 18th Street. It turned out beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's so nice. It's going to last forever. And if you're looking for that kind of workmanship, call Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I think these guys might be right. Asked which teams were aided the most by the new playoff format. It's probably bad teams to get. Here's what Brad Doolittle said. Bradford Doolittle. What kind of name is that? That's a baseball nerd, isn't it? Bradford Doolittle. Bad teams that get lucky. Mediocre teams that play mediocre. Good teams that are unlucky.
That's not much of a reach, is it?
This says the Rays probably. They can throw Charlie Morton, Tyler Glasnow, and Blake Snell in a short series, and no team's going to want to face that trio. However, well, unless you get a day or two off, your next series, is it set up? Is the five game series going to be set up with your best? I don't know. Hopefully, maybe if you go Charlie Morton, Tyler Glasnow, and win those first two games, and hopefully that would be the case with the Astros. Is now you're going to be set up pretty well, is because you'll have a few days off as you wait for the other teams to finish up. The thought is that who got hurt the most by this playoff format? The big three, the Dodgers, Yankees, and the Astros.
Why is that?
Remember when the Nationals got hot and beat the Dodgers and Astros last October? Remember when the Giants rode their pitching staff at the right time as a wild card champion in 2014? Well, now we're adding even more teams that could get hot at the right time and knock the super teams out. This isn't quite March Madness, but it could very well be an upset-filled October.
See, I just don't agree with that. I think putting in worse teams, you'd have to tell me who these teams' starting pitchers are, because starting pitching rules the roost. And you just got done talking about the Rays pitching staff. Yeah, the Rays are a very live, They're a very live championship contender from an underdog standpoint, 100%. When you look at the starting pitching that they can throw at you, boom, 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 they could really bleep you up. Especially over short, I think the biggest concern is not how many teams, because you're going to be putting some mediocre teams in there. I'm not worried about that. What I would be worried about is short series, because short series, long series is the equalizer. Right. It's the short series.
That's a three-game series that you're going to have to play the Angels or the A's, or you're going to have to play the. You're going to probably play the Yankees. Will probably have the best record in the league, and the Astros probably have the second best record in the league. So they're going to play the seventh seed. You're playing the seventh seed, which easily could be the White Sox or the, you know, you face Giolito in game one and you might not hit him.
Well, I think the real concern is going to be for, you know, like team number four, because it used to be, okay, well, you knew you were up against it anyway, but at least you got right out of the gate scrapping. I mean, you're going to have to win a couple series right out of the gates, then you got to it. And now you're going to be dealing with, you know, another team that's a like team against you, or a five team. You know, you're a like team against you. It's just going to be a little tougher. It's going to be a little tougher. I always liked, you know, from a wild card standpoint, it's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough. But now it just got a little bit tougher. I don't think it's tougher for the top three. I don't think it's any tougher. I think you get what should be a layup in the first round, quote unquote. It's the shorter series that does scare you, because if you deal with any kind of sickness or COVID or injury, man, well, I mean, that's something that's kind of right now. I think the COVID thing may be overplayed, though, because of the way that other sports leagues, not all of them are in bubbles. Some are in bubbles. Not all are in bubbles. Premier League's not in bubbles, Dell, are they? I don't know.
The Nationals lost Juan Soto yesterday.
Yeah, they lost him yesterday, but
he'll be back. But that could be up to a two week thing.
It's one guy. It's a big deal, but I think he's going to be inside the 1% right now, because they're saying it's at about 1%. So that's nothing that will shut down a league, but that's an example. That's an example of how. You could have that bad luck. Yes, absolutely. But it doesn't mean it's going to be widespread. You're not shutting down a league. But that's kind of the wild card thing, that if your team doesn't handle their business and you're going out and you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing around playoff time, man, you could shut your whole team down. Your whole team could be eliminated because of you, because of one guy.
Absolutely. Man, how about the way the Dynamo lost, huh? Dell, did you watch that?
Yeah, it was a soft penalty given.
And with it in the 90th minute?
It was, yeah, it was real late. I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. It was 90 minutes.
It was a off a corner kick, I believe, or at least a free kick, and just jostling in the box. A guy goes down, he blows the whistle. The Galaxy, who had been pretty much impotent all game, score a penalty, so the Dynamo had to win to advance. They only tied, so they're coming home. But that it was soft. The penalty was soft. Dynamo go home. So now we're only banking on the dash for a Houston soccer title.
Do you call that penalty in the 90th minute?
You shouldn't call it really any time.
That's terrible.
That's jostling in the box. It happens, and a guy baited the ref into making a call because he fell down. But stuff like that happens quite a bit. It was nonsense.
That is ridiculous. Holy crap.
Yeah, so it changed the fate of two teams. The Galaxy are going home either way because they had to win by like 3 goals. So they're going to go home either way.
So both teams going home.
Yeah, the Dynamo go home, and instead of advancing, their place is taken by New York City FC. They get to go on, who had one of their stars accused of, well, former stars, Spain international player David Villa, accused of sexual harassment. So that's an offshoot of that. He's no longer on the team. He's just an international soccer star. And I saw the tweets about – a woman was talking about this on Twitter. It came up, and I didn't know it would go anywhere. But, yeah, so David Villa, famous Barcelona player, famous Spain player, accused of sexual harassment first time when he was at NYSC.
Sexual harassment?
Yeah, like making comments. I don't know if he groped her maybe as well. I'm not sure. But but while he was at the New York club – he's been accused of that. Now, he's denied it, but there will be an investigation club. Well, he's no longer on the team. He's no longer playing. He might not even be playing soccer anymore.
But not because of that?
No, he's long gone. He's
so
old.
So he's just retired.
He's just an old guy who no longer plays anymore.
David Villa was a major factor in international soccer.
Yeah, for a long time. He was part of that Spain team who won a Euro title and then a World Cup.
So there's Red Bull and FC?
There are two New York clubs, two LA clubs, yeah. But, the Galaxy come home. I think they have to quarantine for a day. They have to, everyone has to have a negative test before they are allowed to fly back. But they'll be home, if not today, maybe tomorrow.
So when you have dedicated...
What were the odds the dash would last longer?
The Galaxy aren't great, period. And there's some questions about their leadership. They have a new coach. So their program was a once great club. We know we went to the stadium. All the hype when the stadium got built.
Yeah, when they had.
Yeah, but they're no longer any good, really.
Keep in mind. I want to make sure everyone keeps in mind from a sports standpoint. Just because your tests are taking 4 to 6 days, three on the short side, major professional sports franchises are going to have it in a day. And here's why: it doesn't have to be sent out. They have it centralized. They don't have to send out. They don't have to send it out or send it even out of state, which is happening in some cases for that big delay to come back, where they're processing thousands and thousands of people. They have a very centralized. This group, these 70 employees or 50 employees or 40, will be tested, and results are given same day. I was told the NFL teams are getting them in the. They're getting them in the early in the. Mid-morning and getting results at 4 a.m. the very next day. So their results are coming back same day. So in sports, there's not going to be this – don't work into the testing stuff, this long period of, well, they may have to wait. They're not going to have to wait. So there are some relatively rapid results that they can get back quickly that are – they feel like extremely accurate. Not the 45 minutes. That's the one where they just worry about – like Dr. Sills said, if you test positive, you're positive. There's really not many false positives. He said, if you get a positive,
what if we you get test a positive negative, test, could he be
said,
positive.
A lot of false negatives.
Yeah, right.
And that's been the problem with the rapid response. He said, it's just not accurate enough for us to go with that type of, 45 minutes in response. They need the full time, which is a full, several hours to get it set up. So, but sports franchises. Now, the question came up yesterday to me, what if colleges have their own, their own biology departments or whatever. Maybe colleges can partner up with their sports teams at University of Texas or wherever to get the testing done on campus to where it's much, much quicker results. I don't know what that process looks like. I don't know if they have the technology. I don't I mean, certainly some universities would have the the staff and the technology and all that stuff. There's going to be others who are like, well, you don't have.
Well,
we don't even have money for
y'all should
dorms.
Have science departments. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about college. As a matter of fact, on the other side, I did a virtual about 45 minutes with Tom Herman yesterday. And
did you get Greg Kelly a job?
I asked him. He didn't know anything about it. So we'll talk about it on the other side. We will do that. But first, I want to talk about Chastain Ford. 0% for 72 months. How about this, everybody out there? This is an important time. Because we're talking about 0% financing for 6 and 7 years. 72 months for most 2019 and 20 SUVs and for 2020 F-150s. 84 months for all 2019 F-150s. Now, they're trying to get the 2019s out. Get them out. 84 months, great prices. Get the 19s off the lot because we got to get the 20s in there. But they've got plenty of cars available. If you don't want to go there because you're worried, that's fine. You don't want to go? That's right. They'll do a virtual tour. They will show you the whole lot of all and all the cars on a virtual tour. You can do it right from your home. You can get pre-approved from your home. You can schedule a test drive. They'll bring you the car. You can customize your own payments. How much do you want to spend every month? You can do all of this. You can get your value on your trade-in. You can do all of this from your home because that's what ChastainFord.com does. ChastainFord.com. You're looking for a dealership that will actually let you buy online? They do because they don't have to upsell you. They don't. All they want you to do is get the car that you want at the price you want. ChastainFord.com or get to the showroom on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastain Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. It's 7:30 on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance. So yesterday, for the Touchdown Club, we had Tom Herman virtually for about 45 minutes. A bunch of people on watching it. So I asked him a bunch of things. I did ask him about Greg Kelly. And I said, Coach, have you seen Outcry? And do you know the story? And he was like, I vaguely know it, but no, I haven't watched Outcry. I said, well, it's something you should watch. The kid, you know, is at UT now. He's enrolled. It was a dream of his to play college. He was wrongly accused. He was at the highest level of the judicial system in Texas. He was exonerated. So, and he lost his ability to play football. So he wants to play. And hope maybe, you know, putting stuff like that in his head that maybe he'll give the kid a shot. He said it's a bad year. We're not taking any walk-ons this year.
That's what the kid was told. Yeah. So I reached out to Derek Chang. He used to be here at Houston with Coach. And I just think it's the year is just not good. I mean, and the kid, if you heard the interview, if you haven't seen the documentary, I highly recommend it. Outcry on Showtime. And then you can go listen to our interview from Monday with the director at 8, from 8 to 8:30, and then Greg Kelly from 8:30 to 9. Really good stuff from those guys. But it's just such a bad year. He's 25 this year. So 25-year-old walk-ons, it's tough in the first place. And then secondly, it is, you just don't have, like, they just don't even know what it's going to look like or what a season's going to look like. I know Wisconsin, for example, Barry Alvarez came out and he wrote a letter to their fans. And I think what he's trying to do is make sure they understand the urgency so that they are willing to make whatever support they can to the program in terms of their donations and things like that. That's my guess is why he put the letter out there. But basically, he talked about the fact that Wisconsin is going to lose. They're going to lose 60 to 70 million fans. Or 60 to 70 million, even with they are projecting with limited capacity. They're expected to lose 60 to 70 million if they don't play the in-season game, the out-of-conference games. If they don't play college football, when you subtract the expenses that are out there, there are some fixed costs that aren't going to move regardless, like student aid and salaries, even though salaries have been cut 15%. They're going to lose 100 million. Now, That's Wisconsin. There is the university has about $190 million in reserve. But just the athletic program is, you know, it's going to be about $100 million hit. And that's losses. And they are one of, as you remember, Mark Schlabach told us, they are one of the 41 to 43% of the teams that actually have reserves.
Yeah.
That's it. There's a lot of teams that don't have any, they don't have reserves to rely on. So when and if that happens, they will close down programs. Like athletic programs are going to shut down across the board, depending on how, and even without, even with limited fans in there, this is still a huge loss. There's just no way around it.
Yeah. I mean, Well, I talked to, back to Herman, and I did ask him, one of the things that I think made the rounds yesterday was, I asked him about the plus one situation. So you're going to play a conference schedule plus one. That's what the ACC, the Big Ten, Big 12, are the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12, I believe. Are those the teams looking at it? And you're going to play your conference schedule plus one, where you Georgia will play Georgia Tech. Florida State will play Florida. Louisville and Kentucky, Iowa State and Iowa. These teams that always play in-state. And I said, Coach, can you think of anybody you want to play? And here was his answer.
It's no secret. You know, it's mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling to me that Georgia and Georgia Tech figure out a way to play every year. Clemson, South Carolina, Iowa, Iowa State, Kentucky, Louisville. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Of rivals, in-state rivals that happen to be in different conferences, Florida State. I mean, where do you want me to stop?
Mm-hmm.
Play every year. And I get it. We want a marquee game in non-conference because we don't play a traditional rival at home. Our biggest rival in conference right now is Oklahoma. We play them at a neutral site in Dallas every year. So if I'm an athletic director, you know, I'm going to want a marquee non-conference game at home every other year. Totally understandable. But to fly to Los Angeles to play a night game on a Saturday night on West Coast time to say that we played USC or to fly to Columbus, Ohio, or to fly to Gainesville, Florida, when we can hop in a bus and drive an hour and a half east, I'll never understand it. I hope someday that we can figure out a way to be like everybody else in the country, the Clemsons and South Carolinas and Georgia and Georgia Techs and all of the examples that I gave you. You know, we'll see. I know Chris Delcani feels the same way that I do. And we've reached out to try to play them in the past. Didn't go real well. You know, maybe this will be the catalyst to make it happen. I haven't heard anything like that, but, who knows? Desperate times call for desperate measures, right?
Oh, here, Coach.
Get it done, Coach. Get it done.
Is that you piping in?
Here. Let's go. Get it done. It is stupid that Texas and Texas A&M aren't playing. It's just stupid.
Well, yeah, but it's been stupid.
Yeah.
It's been stupid forever. It's going to keep being stupid.
It's petty.
At first, because the Longhorns were petty, and then after that, and the Longhorns were like, well, how about we play now? And the Aggies went, no.
Yeah.
Nope, not now. Not how y'all were. Now the Aggies are being petty, and I get it. Aggies, you don't have to. I'm not blaming either one of y'all, but the fact is, you both, the way Texas acted when Texas A&M left the conference after Texas said we're going to do our own TV network and bleep you, we don't care. Well, that wasn't really that cool for the rest of the conference, to be honest with you. And I understood others in the conference getting upset, and then there was a shuffle, and A&M did what was best for A&M. They liked
it. Still was
that.
The right move.
Yeah, I don't blame Texas A&M for that move. Getting into something, it's harder getting into the SEC and the SEC West. I think you make it harder on yourself, but it's still. I don't think it was a wrong move at all. I think from in terms of getting out of the idea of being in Texas shadow and creating your own path inside a conference. It's the best football conference in. In football, I didn't think that was a bad move for the Aggies at all at the time. I still don't think it's a bad move. And I understand they're going to get stomped. They're going to get blah. Well, first of all, the very first year they didn't get stomped. I mean, they are more than they have Jimbo Fisher. They have a bunch of money. Well, everyone had it before this. But so Texas A&M right now, the only thing that keeps them from being competitive at high levels, they're not playing good football, good enough football, and they need better quarterback play. They need to get better at in the secondary. You know, it's football stuff. It's not where they are. It's just basic football stuff. But I think that the time's come. I mean, it really has. As a football fan in this state, I'd like to see those two teams play. And that was something that I grew up, you know, not a fan of either one of the teams, but you still, that's one of the things you watched at right around Thanksgiving time, is that's what you watched. And it hasn't been there for, obviously, for about a decade. But by the same token, they could get it set up. I mean, they could get it set up. But right now, when we talked to Ross Bjork, it did not sound like it's coming anytime soon. And that is a decision being made, I honestly believe, by people outside the school. I think it's money people who are like, that's what we say to Texas. You wanted to get hoity-toity at us when we made a move for us? Then don't be asking for us to play. And at this point, it doesn't do any of the two teams any good.
No. Just get over it. It happened. Neither of these administrations were there when it happened. When Texas A&M left, so you don't have any grudges. Get over it. Get over the whole damn thing and let's go. That Texas and Texas A&M should be playing every Thanksgiving night. Period. And it needs to happen. Now this came and it started a little Twitter back and forth with Joe Biden is still a Dixiecrat and Robert Paulson. Ask him to justify playing football games if there are no students on campus this fall. Full disclosure, I'm a Longhorn, but these kids are about to be taken advantage of this fall for money. Thoughts? I couldn't disagree more. First of all, we constantly say, yeah, this is just about money. And we've been saying, and if you want to know the truth, and I asked Herman about it as well. I said, Coach, if you want to, truth be told, I would much rather be there with you guys because I feel like I would be much safer. I'm getting tested all the time. If I have the sniffles, I'm going to be tested. I know that everything is being sanitized. You guys are social distancing where the normal people are not. They're going to bars. They're going to restaurants. They're not social distancing. You guys are making them. He's making them run sprints with masks on. Mm-hmm. If they do any work together, they've got masks on. Mm-hmm. The way that these colleges and pro sports teams are handling this is tremendous, and it's probably a much safer place to be than anywhere else in
other
the public.
Other than your home.
In your home, right.
Public, right.
In your home. But you know what those kids aren't doing? Staying in their home when you leave them alone. And that was what he said. He said, well, we have them here. I'm going to tell you, we are on top of them.
Structure.
And we are making sure. He said, now, when they leave, I don't know, because they do get to leave. I don't know what they're doing. And I just hope that we're drilling them enough that they will be able, that they will get it in their head to social distance and stay safe.
I won't have that conversation. I saw that guy tag me in review. I'm not having that conversation on Twitter. You want to call in and we can have a nuanced discussion? Because that's a performative question where you can, like, the children are die and this and that. And he can, and you can, you know, do that stuff. If you want to talk about the nuances of it and have a back and forth, I think I can tell you why I thought it was. That's something that is an easy thing to post on Twitter.
Yeah.
But it's not really, it's really not as simple as you tried to boil it down.
Well, and
not
and
you, the guy who I'm
tweeted. These kids are about to be taken advantage of this fall for money. Have you ever played? You're a Longhorn. Did you ever play football? Do you know that these kids want to, that they love to play, that they've got aspirations to play at the next, especially if you're at the University of Texas, that we're constantly just taking advantage of kids couldn't be more. These kids want to play football and they want to play at the highest level and they love the game and they work their asses off. And, you know, it's not all just about the, they want, this is about love of football as well. So, They're just taking advantage of all the time, and it's all about money. Well, you know what? These kids get a great education. These kids live. I don't know if you've seen locker rooms. I don't know if you've seen what's going on. Go take a look at Alabama's locker room and the way that they treat these kids. They're not getting treated like this. You know what? My daughter went to LSU. She didn't get treated like, you know where she lived? She lived with five other girls in a house because that's what you do when you're at college. These guys are living great. They're living in great places. They're being fed great. They're actually getting stipends. This that they don't get paid is wrong. They do get stipends.
Some of them pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. And oh, by the way, some get paid on the side as well.
Yeah.
So that this
maybe not this year.
You're taking advantage of our kids. Can we stop that narrative?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to have that argument because it's an argument that doesn't have any background or it doesn't have full context. And you have to. The only way you can do on Twitter, it turns into watch me, watch what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But let's talk about it. If you want to call in, you want to go face to face and talk. That's with masks on.
Joe Biden is still a Dixiecrat. Have you ever run onto the field?
That's a guy's Twitter, by the way.
Yeah, that's his.
Have you ever run onto the field with? I've never run on with 100,000, but I sure did with stadiums that were full, and it is unbelievable that all those people are there to watch you perform. Okay, and these kids at Texas are running onto a field with 100,000 people there. Yeah, Texas is making a bunch of money.
Not this year.
But you know what? There's no feeling in the world like all those people just cannot be more feverish to watch you play.
Yeah, and because if people are just tuning in to you say this right now, it makes it sound like you haven't been on the side of kids getting compensated. Which
I've always been.
So that's why, to your Lance's point, it's a very nuanced conversation where you can't say, well, we're taking advantage of John. You're coming out strong against his particular thought there, but you have also talked about how kids should be getting something. Paid. So that's why the Twitter thing is nonsense because he can type that and feel high and mighty.
Right.
But you know what? There are multiple levels to this, and on maybe the most base level, the kids want to play football. Because have we heard a lot of parents come out and say, I don't want my kid playing college football this year?
No. And if you allow for opt-outs, then that's fine. But what the guy does not understand, here's the other one. Their quote-unquote sacrifice to play football in what is an extremely clean environment, an extremely tested environment, and safe environment in many cases, much more so than they're going to have, and a structured environment where they do try to have their own mini bubbles. And you can take part in that if you want to by not going out and making reckless choices. It really also is going to pave the way for others to be able to continue to get scholarships in programs other than just football. When you really truly know, and John, you and I spent time on this, and we've read the article, and I think most people who say things like this do not really truly have an understanding of what is to come if there is no college football from a revenue standpoint. If it's dangerous, if kids are going to die from playing this, you can't play it. But if that's not going to be the case, if the testing numbers are going to be extremely low based on what we've seen in controlled environments like in other sports, then your ability to play, even though universities are going to lose millions, could end up saving soccer programs, volleyball programs, women's basketball programs. It's going to save scholarships across the board.
That are kind of a big deal. We got to take a break. It's 7:46 ESPN 97.5. It's time to talk about John Clint Wolf and GiveMeTheVIN.com. I talked about the 0% financing with Chastain. It's unbelievable. Well, you want to sell that car? Sell it to John Clint Wolf because he's given more. He says, man, now is a great time. It's unbelievable how much money he's given, and it's continuing. He does foresee that it's not going to last forever, the amount of money that he's given out for these cars. But right now, people take advantage. This is the time to sell that car and get in. If especially, I don't know, what's your interest rate on the car that you bought? Whatever that is, get it to zero. You can get it to zero right now, but you got to get rid of this car first and get the most for it, and then you get into that next car and brand new car. It's a great way to go about this, and this is the best time to sell your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf is going to give you more than everybody else. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 7:48 ESPN 97.5. Ooh, the Yankees created a... I mean, did you see the I'm telling you, the story isn't who's kneeling. The story is who's not. And there were guys who knelt last night, and there were other guys that didn't. Dave Roberts didn't kneel. He stood there. And other guys, and you know, but I saw Mookie Betts was kneeling, and but Cody Bellinger wasn't. Neither was Max Muncy, but they all both came over and put their hands on his shoulder in solidarity. You can kneel, you cannot kneel. It's who cares? You know what? You want to kneel, kneel. If you don't. How does it affect you in any way, shape, or form? How does that affect you?
Well, I will tell you that I need to write to the Red Sox and tell them now I won't watch another game because you put that giant Black Lives Matter sign on your ballpark. So that's how it affects me. I have written a sternly worded Twitter post to the Red Sox official account that I can't watch you guys anymore, because that was what the response was to them. Well, sorry, you brought politics into sports, so I'm
that's
done
not
with you.
Again, can we stop?
We know,
with that?
Yes. But that is
Black
what
Lives Matter is not politics.
That's what people are tweeting.
It's humanity.
That's what people are tweeting to the Red Sox now because they have that giant sign.
Well, Yankees fans are pissed. They invited President Trump on August 15th to go throw out the first pitch. Mm-hmm. And boy, you want to talk about the Yankees are canceled now because they said, hey, President Trump, come. You're the president of the United States. Come and throw out a first pitch. Okay. Well,
some would say he brought it upon himself.
Well, I mean, you talk about, wow. If you don't like him, that's fine.
I just don't feel like he's going to deal, though.
Well, like Fauci dealt. That's my guy. You know what? I'm okay, though, with Fauci throwing that pitch like the mayor of Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's 79.
What was expected?
He's 79 and a scientist.
You know why? That's right. That dude spent his whole life in labs.
Yeah, what do you want from him?
I don't care. You know what? I was fine with that.
Yeah, he's... But, look, from a lot of people taking shots, do you guys think you're going to live to 79? I've seen some of you.
Do you guys think that you're, you know, spent all that time? Do you think he spent a bunch of time throwing pitches? No.
Look.
He was working with Bunsen burners.
I got a feeling that...
Is those a thing?
Bunsen burners are probably still a thing.
I got a feeling that most people who are taking shots at Fauci, if we lined up personal accomplishments one after the other, he would lap them like four times.
Yeah. Right.
I would like relax on the guy because he had a bad...
Oh, yeah. He couldn't throw a pitch. Yeah. Like, you know what? I want my doctor throwing a pitch like that.
Yeah, I don't want...
That means, you know what he was doing? He was studying.
I don't want a super athletic doctor.
Yes. I don't want my doctor.
No, he's
to be a could throw a super athletic fastball at 80.
A super athletic scientist is going to be on The Bachelor somewhere. That's what he's going to be. 33 years old, rock climber, happens to be a scientist. All these girls want to get with him. It's not going to be Dr. Fauci throwing. I mean, there was no chance. It was a very good chance he wouldn't even get it halfway. That was the favorite. The fact that he even threw the first pitch, knowing what was coming, is a miracle.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, man, I wouldn't go out there, Fauci. 79 or no, I'm not going out there and throwing that pitch. If I'm 79, he can't do it.
Well,
I'd do it now. Yeah, I wouldn't
you got to have some self-awareness. Yeah, listen, I can't throw. Listen.
Nah.
No, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. That's not me. Okay, what if you do? You want me to work out some kind of mathematical equation? Yeah,
maybe Fauci was like, even at a baseball stadium with no one there, I'm going to wear a mask. Maybe that was the message.
But you know,
wear your mask.
That's true. He did.
He did push it further. You know, he pushed it further. It was just way left.
Well, what kind of crap would he have gotten if he didn't wear a mask?
Okay, who threw it better, he or 50 Cent?
I know. I mean, I think that that's a tough call.
Well, it's relative.
Now, my rapper, I probably want to throw a better pitch than him.
I would.
And your rapper, who's not 79 years old,
right?
Yeah,
who was probably in his maybe late or mid 30s at the time he threw that pitch.
But here's what's crazy: there's a lot of rappers that are terrible athletes.
Terrible.
You just expect, like, I don't know why we expect. Rap has nothing to do with that. With being an athlete.
We attribute it to basketball because of the
because
back
of the
forth.
Crossover. Yeah,
the crossover.
And there are some guys who are really, you know, who are great athletes or whatever the case may be.
I know they're a rapper, but do you expect the oboe player to be a great athlete? They're musicians.
They're musicians. That's all they did.
Exactly.
They sat and they played an oboe. But it's like Michael Scott when he put together the basketball team.
This is the guy who is like one of the most feared. I don't think it's a stretch to say 50 Cent has been one of the more intimidating rappers of all time.
Well, his story about getting shot that many times and surviving.
Yeah,
and
I mean, no, that's more disappointing than Fauci.
I just want to show you, like, this guy's in great shape, looks phenomenal, and then that's it. Like, the guy with the camera almost got hit over down the first baseline. I mean, it's just, like Fauci, I expected that. Curtis Jackson, I was not expecting 50 to come with the.
I might have expected Curtis to throw that pitch. But maybe not 50.
Maybe not 50.
Yeah.
Well, you like.
50 wasn't supposed to throw it like that.
No. I was expecting it like when Michael Scott put together his basketball team. He put together the guys in the warehouse. He thought the guys in the warehouse were going to be really good.
So, you know what my son told
particularly
me?
Particularly the one warehouse guy.
He had one, Kevin. Yeah. He drafted. Yeah. He had the one. Who did he draft?
What's his name?
Not Daryl.
Daryl.
Was it Daryl who couldn't play?
He couldn't play.
What's funny is Kevin was really good.
Yeah, right.
He assumed Kevin couldn't.
Right.
My son Alec, who's become, he's watched Office, the episodes, twice now.
Stanley was the name.
Yeah, Stanley. But
Daryl, he picked Daryl first.
But
he thought Daryl would
first,
be there.
But okay. Stanley was the one who was sitting there dribbling like this.
Yeah.
But Kevin, so there's a video shot. And this is so the famous videos, they see Kevin, and Kevin is draining. The fat white guy's draining jumpers with a beautiful form. Blah, blah, right? And it's a one shot. So you know it's not edited. It's a one shot, which means there's no cutaways. They're right behind him, and guys are catching it out of the basket and throwing it back to him, and he's hitting. And that's when, they end up speaking of the narrator goes over to Michael Scott saying, I didn't want guys who can't play. And
right.
And you're seeing him drop three. And what my son told me was they were just rolling on that. It was not supposed to be. That was just Kevin just went out there. Kevin, whoever the actor is, saw a basketball and just started shooting. They were just rolling. They roll footage all the time. They were just rolling footage. You're like, oh, my God. And he's just, prah, prah. Not as Kevin, as himself. And they said, cut. We're going to keep this, and we're going to change some things here. Kevin,
here's how this is going to go now.
Yeah, and so they had this footage of him knocking down, threes from distance. And they said, oh, okay, this is way better than I expected.
All right, 756, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, I want to talk again about my peeps over at Chastang Ford since 1933. They've been doing this, and they do it better. I mean, no one does it better commercially. Commercial trucks, nobody does it better in the city of Houston. They sell more commercial trucks. And this is going to tell you something about them. Because if you're a business and you count on these people and you believe in these people and you keep going back to these people, they've done more return and referral business. That's what the majority of 85% of their business was up until recently anyway. And hopefully these ads are going to be helping and people are going to be coming in because these are people that you can trust. These are people that businesses have trusted for years and years and years. And if they, business wise, you ain't wasting your money. People, you ain't wasting your money if you got a business. You want the best. You want the truck that's going to be perfect for you. And that's exactly what they're doing with retail as well, with the consumers that aren't business. You are going to get the car that you want at the price that you want with interest rates that are 0% for 72 or 84 months. And you're going to get the kind of service that you will not get anywhere else. They're smaller than the other huge guys, but they're going to still match the price and they're going to beat them with service. That's going to happen every single time at Chastang Ford on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Just two exits from 59, 5 minutes from downtown. You can shop online as well at ChastangFord.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.